It is good to see everybody here this morning. How many people venture into grocery stores? Some of us. I love going into the grocery store and like you get your, I don't love it, but I'm a buyer, not a shopper. So I get in there and get my stuff done and my cart's ready to go. But then they trick you, right? Because you get to the checkout line and they put out the fresh French bread. And you're just like, oh, it smells so good, right? Just, who doesn't love the smell of fresh baked bread? It's one of the best smells ever. And you're just there and you're like, I shouldn't buy one of these. And you pick up one of the things, it's just warm in your hands. And you're like, I should buy seven of these now. Because they know it. So they put it out so that it's warm, but they put it out so that the aroma of the bread like fills just the whole place. And it's delicious and I loved it. Bread is my best friend. All these diets that tell you that you shouldn't eat bread, they're lying to you. They are lying to you. Bread is important. It's one of the main food group. But thinking of bread, I remember going on vacations, and I have memories of bread. That's the problem. I can't remember important things, but I can remember good breads where I've had it. But I remember doing vacations with my families growing up as a kid and getting in the motorhome and driving all over the place. And there's one place we stopped. It was in the valley where my dad grew up called Mike's Pizza. And it was awesome. And they cut their pizza weird because they just cut it down the middle and then just cut strips this way. But there's sawdust all over the floor. So as your kid, you're like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then they just bring out this basket of like garlic knots. And you're just like, oh, man, the place is closed down. And I don't know why it was delicious. So I remember that. I don't remember really any of the destinations we went to. Those are boring. But the bread at Mike's Pizza was incredible. But I do remember driving up and down the 395 and going through Bishop. And if you go through Bishop, you have to stop where? Schatz Bakery. Everybody knows it. If you haven't been there, you need to go there. It's just incredible. They're making all these different kinds of bread, and it's just beautiful. And they have this sheepherder's bread is what they're known for. And we would buy several loaves because it's just fresh and hot, and it's like they load it with cheese. So it's just ooey gooey cheese bread. And like within minutes, we devour. We don't even slice it. We just grab it and start ripping it off and eating the cheese bread because it's so good. But the whole motorhome is smelling like bread. The bakery smells like bread. Everything is delicious because bread makes everything better. Amen? Let's close in prayer. I'm kidding. Why are we talking about bread? Not just because I love it, but we're starting this new series about who is Jesus. And instead of me telling you who I think Jesus is, in the Gospel of John in our Bible, there are seven different times that Jesus comes straight out and says, this is who I am. I am this, and I am that, and I am this, and I'm this. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to go over, what does Jesus say about himself? How does Jesus tell you who he really is? Don't let just the pastor tell you. What are Jesus' words, and what do those things really mean to us? And so that's what we're going to be looking at. I like it because we're letting Jesus tell the story, which I like this series. The other reason I like this series is it ties back into the Old Testament and why this is important, why the I am statements they're called in the Bible are important. Because way back in Exodus chapter 3, Moses and God are having a chat on top of a mountain with a burning bush, which might sound strange to you, and that's okay. But they're talking, and God is saying, Moses, I want you to go and rescue my people Israel out of slavery. And Moses is like, oh, I can't talk into this and that. And then so he's finally like, all right, well, even if I go, what if the Israelites say, well, who's sending you? God, what should I say to them? And God says, tell them, I am who I am, sent me to you. And so God kind of reveals his name, his nature, who he is. Not just I am, I will be who I will be, God says. He's just, I have no beginning, I just am. I am, that's who God is. What does that mean? He's bigger than just one definition. And so when Jesus says, I am this and I am that, he's referencing back all the way to Exodus, where God is revealing who he is to Moses. And he's using the same language now. I am this. And so I'm really excited because in this we're going to see who Jesus is, but we're going to see the divinity of Jesus and what he's really like. Today, oddly enough, with all our baked treats, we're talking about Jesus who says, I am the bread of life. And when I say we can't live without bread, I mean it. When I tell you all the diets that say you don't need bread, they're lying to you. And this bread is good, but the bread of life is even better. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Kind of our bottom line today is this. that if you're not satisfied in Jesus, you're not satisfied at all. You may think you are, and you might find satisfaction in certain things, but if you're not satisfied in Jesus, you're not going to be satisfied at all. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to read from John chapter 6 this morning, if you wouldn't mind standing with me. There's a whole lot to the story. Really, the whole chapter of 6 is a big, long story, and we're just going to look at a part of it this morning, starting in verse 25, and we're going to read through verse 35, and I'll fill in some of the blanks as we go along. But this is the word of God for this morning. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." And then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign will you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the story, and I thank you for your son. I thank you that in coming down, he didn't just perform mighty acts and didn't just do some great teachings, but he took time to reveal who he really was. And so, God, as we come this morning, would we just be focused in on that, on what it means that your son is the bread of life, that you sent him, that you set your seal on him, and that the call is to come and believe in him. Lord, work in our hearts, work in our midst this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. Great story, right? There's so much in here, and I'll try and fill in some of the blanks, because we're picking up in the in the middle of a whole bunch of drama and things that are going on. And as we work through this, I want to take some time. Today is Communion Sunday. Normally we stop any series that we're doing and we stop and focus on the Lord's Supper. And I thought, is there a better message to talk about the Lord's Supper than Jesus saying he's the bread of life? And so that's what we're going to be doing today. Later on in our service, normally during a song, we will have you go up and take communion. But we're going to pass out the communion today in church. If you're at home, if you have your elements ready, and we're going to take it together as a church body and a family. So that's what we'll be doing later on. Here's the first thing I want you to see. When Jesus says that he is the bread of life, that Jesus truly satisfies. Jesus truly satisfies. You know how satisfying it is sometimes to eat that one piece of bread or tearing off that Schatz cheese bread and just eating it and not letting it. That stuff is good, and it satisfies to a degree, but I just get hungry again, which you can tell. I mean, the camera adds 50 pounds, so give me a little bit of a leeway there. It's good, but it's a temporary satisfaction. Jesus isn't looking to satisfy the temporary things. Jesus satisfies the longing in us for the eternal things. And we'll be talking about that in a minute. But look what he says. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Imagine that. I mean, imagine, is that really true? If we come to Jesus, do we find ourselves in a place that we're never hungry or that we're never thirsty again? And what does that look like in our lives? I want you to see that Jesus nourishes people spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And that's why he satisfies. I fall in the traps of using other things too. When I get anxious or afraid and my emotions start trying to get out of whack, food calms everything down, right? It just makes the belly grow big. But I look to other things to satisfy me in terrifying times. And Jesus is saying, let me be the one that satisfies you. Let me be the one that takes care of you. See, I think we're all longing to be satisfied in things. We're just not finding it. And this is why we have all of our garages full of things that we can't park cars in, storage sheds, to put all the stuff away that we thought was going to satisfy us but isn't good anymore. So let's put it aside and store it, and let's find something else to satisfy us. We have this, as people, as human beings, we have this longing to be satisfied. And the problem is the things of the world, they're not satisfying us. They're not taking care of what we really need. And we can go through a list of different things, right? We can go through relationships. We can go through work. We can go through sex. We can go through drugs. We can go through high adrenaline activities to get the endorphins going. We can go to, name it, hobbies, everything, sports and sports teams, all these things that we're looking to satisfy us. And they do to a degree, but they eventually let us down. Oh, this is great, this is great. Oh, man, there it goes. I need something else now. Let me find something. Oh, this is great. Okay, good. What else is out there that can satisfy me? And we keep looking for bigger and better things. And the list goes on and on of what we can do. And we chase after things that are ultimately never going to satisfy us. But Jesus says, come to me and you'll never hunger again. Whoever believes in me will never thirst again. Jesus satisfies us. And I think the reason most of the things can't satisfy us is there's a bigger longing in us. There's an eternal longing in us that the things of the world can't fix and they can't do. Are relationships bad? Are hobbies bad? Are vacations bad? Is working hard bad? No, most of those things are good. And it's good to sit down after finishing a hard job and feeling satisfied in that work. But it's not going to satisfy you like Jesus satisfies you. I used to watch a lot of TV, but I've loved Snickers commercials over the years. I think they just do great commercials and great slogans. And they did one that I think is up here, part of it, but Snickers really satisfies. And I'm like, does it though? I mean, it's like a Snickers and caramel and and it's like good. And like you're like feeling low and you get that sugar rush. You're like, yo, this is awesome. But what happens after you get the sugar high? What happens in an hour? Bam, the crash. Wait, I thought Snickers was going to satisfy me. And I love they put the hashtag on that picture. Snickers satisfies. Hashtag really. You need a question mark. Really? I mean, it does good. It's a good pick-me-up, but it doesn't. I was going to give you guys all fun-sized Snickers candy bars today. But then I knew like halfway through the sermon, you'd be out because that sugar crash would just hit you. So Snickers really satisfies. And then I love the newer commercials is you're not really you when you're hungry, right? And you see people doing different things, and it's really hilarious. And they have different stars come in. And there's actually some truth to this one. Because you're not really you when you're hungry. But what you don't realize is you're hungry for a spiritual longing that nothing in this world can satisfy. And so you're going through this world hungry. And you're never really going to be you until you find yourself satisfied in Jesus. And that's when you become you. But when you're not in Jesus, you're hungry, and you're never really you when you're hungry. Jesus satisfies us better than a Snickers bar. And so if we really think about these things, let me ask you some questions. If Jesus really satisfies, if we never hunger or thirst again, when everything in life is going well, is Jesus enough? When the financial security we've built for our future vanishes, is Jesus enough? When we can't afford the house and we can't have a car because it breaks down and we can't fix it, is Jesus enough? When our relationships are in turmoil and tearing apart and fighting, is Jesus enough? When the health that we thought we had suddenly disappears, is Jesus enough? When you watch a loved one succumb to a disease, is Jesus enough? When you lose your job, when your child is struggling to survive, when you feel like the pressures of this world are coming in and choking you and drowning you, is Jesus enough? What happened to Jesus really satisfies? Because those are some hard situations. and I will tell you this. It's not, is Jesus enough? It's the fact that Jesus is enough. It's not a question, it's a statement. We're never promised beautiful, wonderful, great things in this world. We're never promised an easy road and that everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to turn out just the way that I like it. What we're promised is, no matter what the world throws our way, Jesus is enough. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Psalm 107:9 says this, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Man, what a great picture of who God is. And when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's declaring his divinity. And that Psalm 107, he will satisfy the longing soul, and he will fill the hunger with good things and great things. This is what I want you to do for a minute. If you're here in person, I want you to, you have your little worship bulletin. If you got a pen, take that out. If you're at home, get a piece of paper. I want you to write down one area, and no one's going to see it. I'm not going to ask you to share this with your neighbor. We're not going to put it on the nail, nothing. This is just for you. I want you to physically write down one area in your life right now where you need Jesus to be the bread of life, where you need Jesus to bring satisfaction. I want you to write that down. And here's the thing. I don't want you to just to think about it in your head, because sometimes we think about things in our head, but we leave it there, and it never really seems like it's real, and we keep it in this mystery zone. But the minute you write something down on paper, it almost cements it that this is a reality that I'm dealing with. And we are all dealing with different realities. Amen? So what area in your life do you need Jesus to be the bread of life? And I just want you to write that down. I want you to even somehow rip that piece of paper out or carry that bulletin with you this week. Let it be a reminder that Jesus is there for you, that Jesus calls you to come to him, that Jesus truly satisfies. So write that one thing down. How can Jesus be the bread of life for you this week? Because the beautiful thing Jesus teaches in this, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me. Whoever comes to me. Jesus is inviting us to come to him. And today is the day for you to come to him. Whether it's bringing the burdens, whether it's putting your faith in him for the first time, Jesus is inviting you. Come, whoever comes to me will never hunger again. And whoever believes in me will never thirst again. Jesus invites us to come. As you're thinking about that, I want to move on to the second point. And this is why I think Jesus really satisfies, because we don't just have physical longings in our heart. We are made as spiritual beings, and there's something eternal about us. And I want you to see this. Not only does Jesus truly satisfy, Jesus satisfies because he gives eternal life. At the end of the day, these are the things that we're dealing with. There really is life and death on this earth, and there really is life and death after this life. It's a reality. And this life and death is temporary, and it has a limit, but the next life and death are eternal. And this is why the teaching of who Jesus is so important. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again, and whoever believes in me will never thirst again, because he's bringing eternal life. In this passage, going through at the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000, which is probably more like 15,000 to 20,000 people, with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And they eat their fill, and then they disappear through the night, and the people are like, hey, where did Jesus go? Let's go find him. And so they walk around the lake and go to where Jesus went with his disciples, and that's where we picked it up, like, Rabbi, how did you get here? Because we were looking for you. You left where we were. And that's where Jesus says, you came looking for me not because of anything else, because I satisfied your hunger with bread. But there's something more important than loaves of bread and fish, people. And they go, well, you know, Jesus says, see, verse 26, you're seeking me because you ate your fill of loaves. And then the crowd goes on like, well, our forefathers back in the day, you know, Moses gave them bread from heaven. And so if you don't know the story, let me brief you in on a little bit. In Exodus, Moses goes and God, using Moses, rescues people from Israel from slavery in Egypt. Then for 40 years, they're going to walk through the wilderness. 40 years, a group of people, and when they did a census, there was, I think, around 650,000 men of fighting age, which is probably somewhere between 15 and 60 years old. 650,000 of those people. So as Israel is walking through the wilderness, you can only imagine how many people are walking through the wilderness for 40 years. Let's guess in the millions, shall we? And there's not enough food. How is this going to happen? Every day, God makes this bread just appear on the ground for them. That completely satisfies their physical needs. They're wandering through the wilderness and the desert for 40 years. And the thing that's getting them by is bread that magically appears on the ground every morning. Because God sustains them. Well, Moses gave our bread. And Jesus goes, no. Moses didn't give you guys bread. God gave you guys bread. But let me tell you about that bread. You think that's such a great miracle. All those people ate that bread and they died. Because that was just taking care of a physical thing. I'm coming here to take care of the spiritual need that you all have. The longing that you all have that you might not know that you have. And that's what this whole story is getting to. That's the value. That's the importance of why Jesus is the bread of life. That's why if you're not satisfied in Jesus, you're not truly satisfied. Because each and every one of us has this eternal longing. And we don't know how to satisfy it. That's why I think people all the time, like, we're trying to find the fountain of youth. We're trying to maintain looking younger and younger. So why? Because we want to grab hold of this eternity that we can live forever. Listen, we can live forever. And living forever is found in Christ and in Christ alone. I'm the bread of life. Ecclesiastes 3 says this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. What has God put in the heart of man? Eternity. There's a longing in us for that. And we're trying to find it in everything else, but the only way we're going to be satisfied with that eternal longing is found in Christ. I love what C.S. Lewis says. Jerry, I know I switched the slide around, but C.S. Lewis says, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. C.S. Lewis is a pretty smart guy. He's a really smart guy. And not because he was a man of faith, that's part of it, but he was a really smart guy that found faith in Christ. And if I'm finding in myself desires that can't be found in anything else this world offers, then maybe, perhaps, I wasn't created for this world, but I was made for another one. You and I have this spiritual longing, and Christ satisfies that. Have you ever had those times where, like, this is the perfect moment, I wish it could just last forever? I know a lot of you are thinking when Brian preaches, but it's got to end soon. I know you're not. What are those times where, like, man, I just wish this moment could go on forever? I'll prime the pump. Watching a sunset at the beach with waves just crashing on the shore or rocks. And if it can just sit there with perfect weather. Brandon was telling me a story how he was there and it was freezing, but like with the perfect weather and just the sunset and waves crashing, I could just sit there forever. Finding that perfect position to sleep in bed where it's just like, 1 minute before the alarm goes off to wake up for work. If that moment could just last forever, right? That what a wonderful world we would be in. What else? If you could have one moment to last forever, what moment would you choose? Having a granddaughter sleeping in your arms. Glad you don't have grandsons. They would feel really left out, Debbie. I'm kidding. Having a grandchild sleep in your arms. I get it. Anything else? Chris? Laughing with your dad. Yeah. Yeah, and we've had people that have moved on from this life to have those moments back to just sit in chairs laughing together. What else? This life? Yeah. This life is good. And it's amazing to think God has a better one in store for us. But there are things about this life that we love. And I get it. Eating that perfect meal, being at that perfect vacation spot, having Schatz cheese bread forever in my midst. Be wonderful things. Sometimes we think about things lasting forever because we're made to last forever. We're created. God's created us in his image, but he's created us to live eternally with him. And the only place that gets satisfied is in Jesus Christ. I think that's why people strive as hard as they can. But it's only found in Jesus. Jesus is going to go on throughout this, talking about the bread of life. And he says this in verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on that last day. Everyone who believes in me, Jesus says, I will give that one eternal life. That's why Jesus satisfies, because we all have that longing in us for the eternal. And only Jesus can satisfy that. Later on down the way, Jesus says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And so on one point when Jesus is telling a story about being the bread of life, he's looking back to the manna and he's looking back to the Exodus story and Israel being satisfied with this bread that just appeared every morning. But he's also looking ahead to a few years down the road where he's going to go to the cross. And he's going to lay down his life to pay the price of all of our sins. I am the bread of life, and this bread is my flesh. And I'm going to give it up so that you can live eternally, that whoever lives in me and whoever believes in me will live eternal. Jesus truly satisfies us because he gives us the one thing that we're all longing for, eternity. And if we're not satisfied in Jesus, we're never really going to be truly satisfied.